Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you are listening to Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
That's good. Between 410 and 411, 411, folks, we're going to give you all the info tonight because, you know, everybody needs to dial 411. Between 410 and 411, you injured yourself.
Yep.
I don't remember if we talked about that in 410. I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
I don't think it had happened yet.
Well, so, I think at that time it hadn't. And then I was busy with work, and then there was other programs we were recording, so we just didn't do the show at that time. I learned not to violently wash your hands.
Now, when he says that, folks, I'm imagining some sort of hammer or a screwdriver is involved.
So what happens is when you're washing your hands really fast, and then you get water all over the countertop.
Oh, no.
And then you're trying to be a decent human being to clean it up with a rag. Well, what had happened was I was wiping the counter a little too fast. And then, you know how when you're like half paying attention, cause you're like, it's a reflex. I'm not, you know, nothing's going to happen. Yeah. Something happened. I whacked my finger up against I missed the counter and hit the sink bowl.
Oh,
and I pushed, my pinky did not bend. It stayed extended. And I hit at an angle, and so I cracked the inner, like I fractured the inner part of my finger between the ring finger and the pinky.
Yikes!
Right hand.
Yeah, on your good hand that you yeah.
And I sprained the middle knuckle as well, but I fractured between the middle knuckle and the knuckle that connects to my fist. And so, thankfully, because I didn't break it at the knuckle, they shouldn't have to go in and do anything. Mm-hmm. They did give me a cast I can take on and off with, like, Velcro that they made custom to my hand. I'm at the point now that I can hold a mouse.
Yep.
And do some light grabbing of stuff. I mean, mostly I try to wear the glove because when I don't, I tend to hit things unless I'm seated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's thankfully I never learned how to type properly. And so my pointer finger, my middle finger, my thumbs are all I need for that. But I'm trying to regain strength in the ring finger on the right hand because the pinky is still healing and they're going to scan me next week to see whether I need a bone graft or not. Cause apparently I got cartilage instead of a solid bone in the middle.
Oh no.
So, which I guess that's just the way my finger developed. It's not the only reason I found out is because I jammed it.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard me like snorting or chuckling in the background, it's not because I'm laughing at his situation of what happened. I'm laughing because in my head, you're telling me that you can type with your thumb, your ring, your index finger and your middle finger. And I'm looking at my hand and I'm like, holy crap. Steve has mutated into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle because they only have three fingers.
Well, what's funny is I have four. Technically, when I wear this glove, it looks like I have a thumb, two fingers, and then one really big finger at the bottom, which if I would have had the other two fingers, like I know how they did the Ninja Turtles now. They wore these special gloves and they had, the ring finger and the pinky tied together and the middle finger and the other pointed finger. And then you have your three fingers.
Yep, absolutely. So and me, I know exactly what you're, you know, how you feel because being born with cerebral palsy, having this all my life, it's like I actually have no, like, I can grab things if I need to, but like I have no functional use out of my right hand, like my fingers and all, like it's not, I'm not in pain or anything like that, but there's no, like, I have to use my left, like I have to make sure my brain is controlling my left hand in order to control my right hand. So yeah, anyone talks to me about hand injuries or not being, I'm like, I know exactly what you, I know what you're going through. Mine's been a little bit longer than yours, but at least yours can heal.
True.
So this is Altered Geek, your show, and we talk about all kinds of stuff on here.
Mm-hmm.
From toys to video games to I don't know what kind of Jeffrey, I don't want to grow up, I want to be a Toys R Us kid thing I'm going for there. But tonight we are going to talk TV.
Yep, we're going to talk TV. And more or less,
yes,
you know, what we've been kind of enjoying or checking out.
Or in my case, not really watching anything at all.
Blasphemy.
Well,
no, I'm just playing.
No, I know. So since when did episode 410 come out? Please talk about the TV you've been watching currently while I look this up.
Well, there's been a multitude of different shows that I've been kind of checking out, between Star Trek Prodigy, Lower Decks, both of them Star Trek, and then Walker Independence, right. Blockbuster. So yeah, Lego Masters. I've been kind of keeping up with the Mighty Ducks, even though it's kind of it's not terrible.
I like Josh Duhamel, but I will not watch that show now.
I mean, it's still soured on me, but I feel like it's kind of not as good as it was.
Yeah.
I've attempted The Winchesters, which is a prequel to
Supernatural.
Yeah, I don't know if I care enough. but Walker Independence, I actually kind of like.
Yeah.
Just because it's the old 1800s, it's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. When you told me about it, I looked it up and I looked because I.
It's not written like a CW show, though, which is which is why I enjoy it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's not like your angsty teen drama. Like it's, you know, even all the superhero stuff is pretty much that.
Yeah.
This doesn't kind of hold that. It's more of a serious drama of sorts.
Right.
With actors that have been on CW stuff. So like Crowley from Supernatural or Green Arrow's daughter.
Yep. Yeah, so when I looked it up, I knew that Walker itself was a reimagined version of the classic 90s Chuck Norris-driven Walker Texas Ranger. So I don't like a lot of the reboots and remakes. I don't like a lot of them, and I really don't pay attention to them. But you've been telling me about this thing, this prequel part, this prequel series of it for like weeks now, and I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. I'll look into it. Well, I looked into it today, and outside of the 1800s, the fact that it's Bostonian, I'm like, okay, we'll cover this on studio whenever, sometime in 2023 or whatever. So, you know, yeah. But Altered Geek 409 and 410 were back in September of this year. So since the Mercari report and since we interviewed Tom Bergeron, between that time and now, you have crippled yourself.
Yep.
Which is not good. So, but yes, TV, I don't. So right now, between the time that we've done other Altered Geeks since the summertime of this year, I finally got, you know, the call from, I had been looking for housing in this country, and that's a whole other spiel I will do elsewhere, but it's a nightmare, folks, trying to find affordable housing on a low budget in this country. And I applied to various places. I applied to every cold state that had an open waiting list, and every place that I picked, I had at least one or two friends around there in case any kind of emergency popped up, kind of thing. Like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, kind of stuff. So I even applied to some places in Colorado where you are. So, but I got a call from Indiana and I accepted it and I moved. So all of my other furniture stuff, like my bookshelves and all of that stuff, is still in storage at my dad's in his trailer or whatever. Well, which means I don't have my lovely 6-foot by 9-foot desk here yet. So I'm currently having to use the kitchen table that I have, the heirloom kitchen table from Karen's mom, as my main compute. Like, I've got my tower over on this other caddy thing, and I've got the monitor and my metal thing that the monitor sits on, and so it's a very cramped kind of, it's not the way I want it to be set up. So I'm saying all of this to say that I haven't had a chance to really move it, even though I'm living in this apartment, even though my bed is here, even though I have a computer set up. Last year, right before Christmas or right after Christmas, I forget when it was, I went on to monoprice.com and I bought a TV mount because I have always wanted to mount my TV to the wall. Look, I love entertainment centers. They're great, but they get so fucking dusty. And I understand mounting your TV on the wall, and I'm sorry to use the F word, it's going to get dusty as well, and that's fine. That's what feather dusters are for and whatever else. But TV stands, and that was me in my 20s. I'm 42, almost 43 years old. So, and back in 2018, for Christmas that year, Karen and I bought each other technology presents. She wanted a new laptop, and I wanted a new TV. And at the time, I bought this. So I can't believe that it's still, yeah. I bought a Sharp branded Roku TV, 55-inch 4K UHD. And if anyone has ever heard me on a podcast in the last, I'd say 2 to 3, maybe longer years than that, I'm always trying my best to future-proof myself to make sure at the time of purchase, I know that I can have this product for the next 12 years and it not die on me. Please, Tower, do not die on me now. You know, so we bought that in 2018, and I always wanted to get a mount for it because at the time we were living in the house that she had bought it and whatever else, and things have changed since then. Sadly, she passed, and I'm living by myself again, which is fine. But I have this mount. I have the TV. As of this recording right now, my cousin Ross, her cousin Ross actually, but cousin through marriage, whatever, he and his son are on their way down to my dad's to get my stuff. So hopefully by the next time we record Altered Geek, I will have my lovely 6-foot. I will have my full podcast set up. So yeah, that's what's been going on with me. So the reason why I'm saying all of this is to say that I watch stuff on my phone because that's all I watch stuff on my computer, but I don't always like, I'm sitting here X number of hours a day editing podcasts, which is fine. That's what I do. That's my quote unquote job since I can't do anything else. And I hate leaving the house. So that's what I do. So I don't always want to sit here and watch stuff unless I have to record audio bits or unless I'm preparing for us to record a show or anyone to record a show with, kind of thing. So I watch stuff on my phone, but I don't really watch stuff on my phone. I basically put something on to go to sleep or to relax or to whatever. So once the TV gets mounted and all that stuff, I will be back to watching shows and catching things that I haven't caught up with or catching things that I haven't even watched yet, like Walker Independence or Blockbuster. Now, explain Blockbuster. Like, I tried reading the Wikipedia article, and I know it's some sort of comedy series, but other than the fact that it's named Blockbuster, is it basically about the last family that owns a Blockbuster video?
So, and I've, and what's funny about it for me is, one, my wife used to work for Blockbuster. Two, it's okay. So there, the last Blockbuster store in existence actually is not in Michigan. This one takes place in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Oregon. It's in Oregon. And before that, there was like another one in like Alaska as well. And one other somewhere across the globe, somewhere else. Cause when I worked, writing articles for a tech website, I wrote one about the last Blockbuster in existence, and that was in Oregon. And so one, it was just funny in that account. Two, it's kind of like your basic sitcom.
Okay.
But it's this ragtag group that's finding out on, you know, the first episode that Blockbuster's kind of gone kaput, mm-hmm. and they're the last store in existence and corporate's gone and everything. And so they're kind of autonomous and kind of have to figure everything out, you know, their healthcare, their, you know, their payroll, their, yeah, literally everything. And then you have the guy that's the manager that's been working there since he was a teenager. And then a various squad of people of, that know movies enough, but some that don't. And then he's got this friend that owns the plaza that the building is in, mm-hmm. and corporate paid most of their bills as far as, cause they don't make enough. But so it's kind of dealing with the interpersonal relationships of the people, but also of, you know, the movies and the store and, kind of poking fun at the whole, you know, streaming era and poking fun as well at the disc era. Yeah. And, like there's an event that happens that streaming goes down and people lose their minds and are like, oh, a video store. And I don't know. There's parts of it that are stupid and parts that are entertaining, mm-hmm. but the entertaining far outweighs the stupid.
Oh, that's good.
And so I found it appealing. Plus, I knew of like the couple of leads that are in it, like the guy that owns the plaza, and then the lead guy of that's the manager, and then the other lead woman who was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right. Yeah.
That was kind of like the main draw was those three, and then kind of just I was curious because it's a show about Blockbuster on Netflix.
I know, right?
And which pokes fun at Netflix on Netflix about Blockbuster. So mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know. It's very meta and it's kind of funny. So I was like, it's something to check out. It's different. And it's not too like, it's not too dumb and it's not too vulgar either. It's just, I don't know. It's just kind of entertaining and fun for just light watching. I think it'll get a season two. They do leave it open for a season two.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping it does, but it's, again, it's nothing I would like waste. I don't feel like I'm wasting a ton of time by watching it. Whereas let's put it this way. I'm more invested in this than I am the Mighty Ducks Game Changer season two.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot more to draw me to this. Now, Walker Independence, I would say is probably out of the shows, not with the Star Trek moniker. Mm-hmm. is probably my favorite one going on right now.
Okay, cool.
Despite having to wait week to week to week.
Yeah. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about as we talk TV here tonight is, well, we've talked about this over on Studio, but basically how we can... I want Netflix. I want the Netflix model. I want... Here you go. Here's everything. 10 episodes, 13 episodes, 20, whatever it is. I don't care. Here it is all at once, binge. Just flipping binge, you morons. That's what I want. Anytime Disney Plus comes out with a new show, whatever show it is, whether it's Star Wars, whether it's Marvel, whatever it is, I will not watch it until all episodes are online. I'll see people talking about it online, but I don't, spoilers don't really affect, like, I'm not going to get my knickers in a twist because, oh my God, somebody spoiled. So this color of this wall is green. Why would you spoil that for me? Don't you? Idiots. So, you know, I will wait, and I am perfectly fine waiting for when every, like, so that way I can binge it on my own.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And yeah, Blockbuster looks really fun, looks really cool. And I, other than I think, is this the Saturday Night Live? Yes. Other than the guest actor, Bobby Moynihan as Stevie, who was on SNL for the longest time. Oh, and JB Smoove. Other than those two names, I don't recognize anyone in the main cast.
Well, I recognize the woman that's...
As Eliza?
Yeah.
Melissa.
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. I never watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I did. So, yeah. I found it entertaining. But, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of it. It's just... Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of it's just something different. So I was kind of interested just on that front.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It looks really, really fun, and like I said, at some point I will be checking it out. Over on Studio 2009, as of this recording, we have our 51st episode out where you and I did a Ryan Reynolds double feature with The Atom Project and Six Underground. And I can safely say that The Atom Project, this doesn't happen a lot, folks. It only happens with a handful of things as far as films go. But it is now in my top tier of most rewatched films. Like, literally, since we did the recording, I watched the film at least two times. After the recording and the release of the podcast, I've gone back and watched it like four more times. I haven't done that with a movie, and just a regular, not Transformers, not franchise, not any. I haven't done that with a regular. Like, the last time I did that was with 1988's Cocktail with Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue. So yeah, that's also technically not. I mean, technically it's TV since it's streaming on Netflix, but it also is a film. So, but yeah, I don't watch TV like I used to. And hopefully once I get the TV mounted in the bedroom and all that stuff, I will start watching shows again. But for me, it's all about putting something on, like, and I know people, and I know you're not like me, you're not into the whole true crime thing, and that's fine. But like, people, I always say to people, yeah, Forensic Files puts me to sleep. I've seen Forensic Files so many times that I know every single major episode from that show. And they're like, why are you going to sleep to murder? And I'm like, it's Peter Thomas's voice. May the man rest in peace. But Peter Thomas is the narrator on Forensic Files, and he just has one of those voices that can just, especially if you've seen the show enough times, if you've seen the same episode over and over and over and over and over again, that you know what happens in the plot, that you just want to hear the man talk. He has one of those voices, and I'm sure I'll put a clip in here somewhere so people can hear what I'm talking about.
At the Dallas Pistol and Revolver Club in 1991, Trey Cooley, a young spectator, was watching a shooting competition seated behind an air gun range. He was struck and killed by a stray bullet. This is how ballistics, lasers, and forensic animation solve the riddle of the magic bullet.
Even though he's talking about somebody killing somebody else, it's the sound of his, like, the man could... Obviously, he can't now because he's no longer with us, but he could read the phone book and put me to sleep. And it doesn't matter that he's reading, like, he just, it's like you with David Kaye with Megatron, because you're now, you know, it's a voice that you are accustomed to, that you have learned, that you're, but for me, it's like, oh, okay, I'll just, you know, and for me, I don't even have to, I don't actually watch my, I listen to my phone. I don't watch my phone. So yes, even though my phone screen is on, and even though Forensic Files is playing on the phone, I'll roll over. I'm going to sleep. Just let me hear the, like, that's all I need is, again, folks, I am all about the audio lifestyle, and I do not do video anymore very much. Oh, man. But yeah, no, that's, you know, TV for me, I'm so far out of the game to, like network television and network show, I have no idea. I know Law and Order is still going on because Law and Order is a machine that it will never stop. If it does stop, it's going to shock everybody. But I know that's still going on. I know the shows that you've mentioned to me. I still keep up with all the streaming stuff, even though I haven't watched a lot of it. But I know when there's a new Marvel show or a new Star Wars, because you can't not know. I mean,
yeah, they make sure you know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, TV, it's not what it used to be for me anymore. It's not that important anymore, and I cannot believe that just came out of my mouth.
I know. What's funny is I've been thinking about that as well.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of of the same mind. Like, yeah, I'll pick up a new thing, you know, to show here and there. Mm-hmm. But on a whole, I just don't care.
No.
Like, there's not a lot that actually grabs my attention.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, I pay for internet and I pay for mobile through Xfinity. I have any number of apps or streaming services that I pay for on my phone that I can also watch on my television once it gets, you know, installed and whatever else. So I have no need for, like, me buying a yearly subscription to Disney Plus is about the same cost as what a monthly cable subscription would be for television. And with how I pay for Disney Plus, it is completely ad-free, even though they are introducing an ad tier on Disney Plus. You know, if I'm paying for it, I want ad-free. I cannot sit back here and pay for something and have ads on it. That I just cannot do that. So
no, I get it.
So and I know I've talked about that before on this show. What else is going on with you? What else do you want to talk about? What other TV things do you want to bring up?
I don't have a ton.
Okay.
As far as TV is concerned. Uh-huh. Other than it's at Christmas time and my wife is watching all the Christmas content.
You know, one of these days, Mary and I are going to have to bond over Hallmark because I'm one of those idiots who got into, I don't even know. I know how it was. I saw an actress in a different TV show. And I saw she was going to have either Hallmark or whatever movie. She was going to have one of those Christmas movies. And it was called Naughty or Nice. I don't remember who the guy was that starred in it with her. But it was Hilary Burton. Hilary Burton is the wife of Jeffrey. Oh, God. What's his name? He's another actor. Anyway, so I originally saw her as Sarah on White Collar, and I liked her there as an actress, and I liked the role that she played on White Collar from USA Network. So when I saw that she was doing a Hallmark, I'm like, ooh, yay. Or when certain 90s sitcom stars show up in Hallmark movies, like Mark Paul Gosselaar and Melissa Joan Hart in 12 Dates Before 12 Dates of Christmas. Future Mike here. It was Amy Smart and Mark Paul Gosselaar in 12 Dates Before Christmas, not Melissa Joan Hart. Okay, back to the show. That was originally an ABC Family Christmas movie. Or when, what's the other one? Is it, no, Drive Me Crazy was another Melissa. I'm trying to remember Holiday in Handcuffs was with Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
Where she basically kidnaps.
I've seen that one.
Okay, yeah. Yep. And there's others. And a lot of them are whatever, but there are some good ones out there. And plus, with this holiday season coming up, we have the return. We have the return of the Santa Clauses.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that one. More so because I just don't want to do the...
The weekly, yeah.
And yeah.
Say, yeah, I'll do the same thing probably.
I'm kind of done with the weekly thing. Like, I... Just let me blitz the stupid show and just get on with it.
Yep.
Because one, if the episode sucks...
You're not going to want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just skip the episode.
Yep.
Because honestly, like, I don't care to watch them when they trickle out like that anymore. Just kind of would prefer just to wait.
Yep, absolutely. And the reason why I coined it as the return, even though it is the return of Tim Allen, it is the return of our favorite head elf, Bernard, is back, baby. Yeah! That's the only reason why I am tuning in, is to see David Krumholtz as Bernard come back. Because, and again, I will probably put the audio in here somewhere, but they put out a trailer for this new the Santa Clauses, and it's a minute too long. There's like 26 seconds of audio that all you had to do was make a 26-second ad. You didn't have to show the family. You didn't have to, he's retired. He chose a new person. He has to unretire because the person he chose was the wrong person. But that last 26 seconds when Bernard shows up.
Christmas is in trouble. Let's go.
Now we're getting somewhere.
That's all you needed for us longtime Santa Claus fans. That's all a teaser trailer needed was for Bernard to show up. You didn't need the other minute and a half of visuals that you put in that trailer.
pretty much.
And I knew it was happening. I mean, even though I hadn't seen the trailer to that point, but I have since seen it. But I knew it was happening because I follow David on Instagram and, you know, we live in the age of the internet, and we live in the age of news websites that break the news and do this and do that and whatever else. And it was a huge rumor at first, and then eventually he confirmed it, and then websites were like, oh, he confirmed it. Bernard's back. But yeah, just seeing that was like, oh my God, I cannot wait. So, yeah. All right, before we do whatever we're doing, you want to talk about toys?
I spent a couple days doing over the weekend, working on my model truck.
You're still working on your Chevy S10?
Yeah, the thing is I kind of dropped it for a while.
Right.
Like, I just was like, can't do it.
Yeah.
And then I had the free time,
mm-hmm.
So I started working on it again, and it actually is near complete.
Very cool, very cool. The question is, does it transform?
No. I'm not that good of a... Yeah. The thought crossed my mind. It did. Yeah. But I don't see any way of making it happen.
Yeah.
That would make sense and not waste a very expensive model kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not, that model kit for the S10 is not cheap.
No, it is not. And for me, I'm not dipping all the way back into regular toy collecting. My collection will still mainly be Funko Pops. However, I am going back in for certain things. And one of the things I went in for was the Jada Toys Nano Metal Figs. And these are, I don't even know what their size is. Yev's over the Super Nazi's over there. I can't grab him. He's on Unicron's head. They're tiny figurines that stand on bases, but they are what I love about them, I don't know if you can hear this.
Yep.
They're die-cast construction. It is no longer a lost art. So these are 18 figures that are die-cast. Like I said, Jada Toys, Nano Metal Figs. There is Transformers Series 1 and Series 2. I will talk about Series 2 in a second, but these are 100% die-cast. In this Series 1, you have Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Hot Rod, Cliffjumper, Starscream, Megatron, Jazz, Prowl, Sideswipe, Sunstreaker, so you got the Jet Judo Twins, Skywarp, Thundercracker, Wheeljack, RC, Ironhide, Ultra Magnus, Shockwave, and Soundwave. Ooh, I need to stand Shockwave and Soundwave next to each other. Now, I was debating on even opening this because they look so good in the package, but I realized that for some, I don't know how reason, the left side of the box kind of got frumpled, and it's not destroyed, but like something happened to it. I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll open them. And it took me about 45 minutes to get them out of their plastic prison. Because these are like really, really set inside the heavy plastic that holds them. But I have them all out now. I absolutely love that they're out. I can't wait to display them. They look really, really cool. Like I said, this is Series 1. And the one thing I don't like about Jada Toys is sometimes they don't advertise their stuff, but it's just out there in the world. I remember they did finally advertise Transformers Series 1 for the Nano Metal Figs. To my knowledge, as of this recording, they have still not made any announcement, and it's not purchasable on Walmart's website, Transformers Nano Metal Figs Series 2, which apparently includes two exclusive figures this time around. So this is another 18-pack, I think. Yes, it is another 18-pack. This one features another Optimus Prime, this time him with his axe. Bumblebee is in a different pose, so you got another Bumblebee. You have a Nemesis Prime. You have another Wheeljack, who I believe that's the exact same figure as Series 1. You have Scorponok. You have Battletrap, whoever the hell that is. You have Sound Blaster, you have Nova Storm, you have Acid Storm, you have Red Wing, which that was an interesting TF Wiki article that I had to read.
Well, it's a Target exclusive.
Red Wing is?
Yep.
Okay. Mirage, and you have two exclusive figures in another version. Is it the same version or another version? Let me look at where's my Cliffjumper? No, okay, this is so you have an exclusive version of Cliffjumper, which is just him with his hands on his hips, whereas the other one, he's got some other pose, and then Spin Out. Now, you notice I didn't say certain other characters because I don't know if I can send this to I'm debating sending this to you just because, but the other characters that I did not mention yet is Optimus Primal, Rhinox, Air Razor, Cheetor, and Beast Wars Megatron. And they look glorious and they look amazing. Now, as of this recording, I have not taken enough pictures of this in package, so I am not opening this just yet. But I am super stoked to have both Series 1 and Series 2. I am very interested to see what Jada Toys does if they do a Series 3 of these. It's going to be hilariously awesome. The other major pickup that I got, I mean, I've gotten several. Funko has branched out into other things with their pops, and they do like deluxe figures and things like that and oversized figures. So I mentioned on here before and on All Things Transformers about the 10.5-inch Unicron pop, which is a larger Funko pop. Well, they are also doing things like pop books and pop albums and pop whatever. So pop albums, it's basically an album cover and then a new version of whatever character, like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Like, that's just a standard kind of thing within them. But the one that I wanted the most was the pop album of Metallica, The Black Album from 1991. This is the four figures. So it's James, Lars, Kurt, and Jason. First time Jason Newsted got a Funko Pop. So that's cool. But this thing is, I'm planning on making a YouTube video of it because, and I'm planning on titling the video, The Most Heaviest of Funko Pops. So I got this thing, I don't know, a couple days ago, last week, whenever it was. And it comes in this box, and I'm like, okay, I know this thing is big, but it can't be that big. And the box was nice and packed with like a million pieces of bubble wrap, and it was all wrapped up and everything else, so it was all safe and fine. So after I get all the bubble wrap off, I go to try to pull it out of the box, and I can't lift it. And my left arm is fairly strong. I can lift, you know, 5'10". Whatever kind of power, you know, I can lift some heavy stuff if I need to. But this, it was like it was diecast, but they use vinyl, they use pop vinyl, they use vinyl. They're not diecast. And I lifted the, I'm like, oh my God. So literally, it's the heaviest Funko Pop I own. Like it takes me a good like 5 minutes to lift this thing anywhere. It's so heavy. And I don't know why it's that heavy, because there is not, to my knowledge, a record in this thing. And vinyl itself is not that heavy, but this thing weighs like 5 or 6 pounds. And I don't know why. So, yeah. Anything else you want to discuss? Is there anything else you want to talk? I mean, this is your show. I want to be able to, I don't want to, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I'm kind of waiting to see what happens with a lot of different shows. Like I said, Walker Independence, while it's good, there's also the kind of kicker that, you know, the CW has been purchased.
Yes.
So they've actually canceled pretty much every show unless it was like already going to cease after the season. And the Winchesters and Walker Independence has no back orders as CW cutbacks continue. So no decision yet on a season two. And I know Whose Line Is It Anyway is done.
Yeah.
Which it is what it is. Like, it hasn't, honestly, I haven't cared for the CW version of it.
Yeah.
I liked the ABC version better, but
yeah.
But yeah, so tons of different shows. They're going for less scripted and more like game showy, you know, easier to produce content, unless like CW like or that kind of stuff wants to foot the bill.
Yeah.
So I'm a little reluctant on some of those, just because if they don't get renewed, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, I do enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is that, so it got purchased by Nexstar, which I'll talk about in a minute, but the day Nexstar, in a conference call that took place the day its purchase was announced, indicated a desire to run the CW cost consciously, citing research that indicated the network spends almost twice the amount of other broadcast networks spend on programming, a partial reason for the May 2022 cancellations. Nexstar plans to seek shows with smaller production budgets and or reasonably priced acquisition fee, including, like you said, unscripted fare, syndicated. Look, if they want to become a syndicated network and run Knight Rider or whatever, or if they want to run the old Walker, or fine. If you want to do like MeTV and H&I and all that stuff, fine. But when the reason why I said I would talk about Nexstar in a moment was because when the announcement was made that the CW was getting sold or bought or whatever, okay, CBS and Warner Brothers owned it. And Warner Brothers is, we could do a whole other episode of this podcast on Warner Brothers and their sinking ship. But when it was announced, I'm like, who the hell is Nexstar? I never, like, the CW was bought. I thought it was going to be bought by NBC or Disney or, you know, somebody. And yeah, I'm looking at their Wikipedia article, and I don't know this company at all. It's just crazy. And I'm trying to see where, when it was, when did it, yeah, it's, the formation was in 1996. Wow. Hmm. Nextstar Media Group was founded as the Nextstar Broadcasting Group on June 17, 1996, initially backed by ABRY Partners. First television station bought by Nextstar was WYOU in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Huh, interesting. I don't know. I have not actively watched, and we've talked about this before, I have not actively watched anything on the CW since Crisis.
I concur. I've watched The Flash, and that's about it.
Yeah. I'm just, and hopefully, you know, Nextstar will still have it on there eventually, but I'm just waiting for, like, The Flash to hit Netflix. I know it's on Netflix now, but, like, that's what I was waiting on, for it to hit Netflix so I could just watch the, I don't, so, was it season 5 when Crisis happened? Or, yeah, because they had the short season 6 and 7. I forget.
Got something.
It. Something like that. I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, I liked Stargirl, but I never kept up with it. Batwoman, I only liked it once they introduced Batwing. That's a whole other rant I can go on elsewhere in other podcasts.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of any of the other ones.
Yeah. I was hoping that they would do the Canaries one that they were going to do with his daughter and all that. Like, still have the feeling of Arrow, even though Oliver wasn't there anymore, but I don't think they're going to be doing that at all.
No, it flopped hard.
Yeah.
Because they did kind of a soft reboot during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it went nowhere.
Yeah, that sucks. That absolutely sucks. I think that's it. And like I said, I mean, you know,
I don't think I really have much else. I mean, it's more so kind of an update and just kind of what we've been watching. So I'd be curious to hear what other people are watching and what they think are of interest that they're kind of picking up right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know, folks. We will come back with episode 112. Wow.
We went back in time.
Yes. It's, those days that wake you up in the dead of night, those days that felt like another life. Yeah, we just went back in time. We jumped in the DeLorean, folks. Episode 412, as long as you guys write in to feedback@geekcastradio.com or check us out on Twitter @AlteredGeek or mention me at wow. Okay, fine, I'll do it. Mention me at SCP21 or mention him at
TFG1 Mike.
And let us know what TV you're watching, how you watch it, all that good stuff. And we are... Is everybody ready for the holidays?
I am.
You are. Okay.
I am.
That's good. I don't know if I'm ready for the holidays. I don't know if I... And the reason why I say that is because even though all Thanksgivings matter...
Like,
literally, no, but I've been saying that for years, even before. I've been saying that since 2012. So, like I mentioned earlier with the pop albums, like my buddy Wes, who runs poppingofftoys.com, and they also have a retail store in Nashville, Tennessee for Funko Pops, he put out that they were going to have the Mariah Carey pop out Merry Christmas pop album in stock. So I'm like, oh, okay. And I bought it. It's a Christmas thing. It wasn't even Halloween before I bought the damn thing. So my whole thing of things have a linear, like Halloween first, Thanksgiving next, Christmas after that, no Christmas before Thanksgiving. I'm like, I feel like at this point this year, this is the second year of holidays with Karen gone. and all that. And I'm just like, F it. Christmas for everybody every day starting November 1st. Not doing that, folks, because like I said, all Thanksgivings matter. But yeah, I'm just in that mood of I really don't give an F anymore. I started listening to Christmas, like not radio station Christmas music, but my
grocery store.
No, that's just radio station Christmas music, but backwards.
They start November 1st.
God. So crazy. So crazy. All right. You want to get us out of here, sir?
Yep. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Charlie Brown, now Charlie Brown.
I can't believe it. She must think I'm the most stupid person alive.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it.
Hold it? Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself.
But Charlie Brown, it's Thanksgiving.
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. Maybe I should do it. Besides, she wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon!